Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is a Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin was right, Colin was wrong. There is plenty of both. It is great to have you in today, Joy. Sometimes the NFL makes no sense. Buffalo was awful. The Cowboys were awful. The Rams were awful, and Jaguars won their second game.
Good for the Jaguars.
Good for the Jaguars.
This is a bad night, bad day for the Bills, but I felt good for Jacksonville.
Listen, the only thing that was predictable, I mean, seriously, when I went to bed last night, I thought, well, Aaron Rodgers out, Jordan Love in, and they lose at Kansas City. Oh. I'm like, all right, that's one of the things I thought. But let me start with that. Because I didn't go in with great expectations with Jordan Love. I did not. I was not unfair. We talked about it Friday. I said 20 of 29, no TDs, no interceptions. Run the offense. If my kids were going to a huge dinner, and I mean like a once-a-lifetime dinner, it was a governor's ball, and my kids had to go. We all have like one time in our lives with our kids, a real fancy ball. And they go there, and their kids, and they don't know where to put the fork and spoon, and you know, it's not very good, and they're kind of anxious, and you know, make sure you put the napkin up. Well, if I don't prepare them, that's on me. But if I send them to etiquette school for 18 months, even though they're kids, and they're still a tire fire, that's on my kids. My kids are smart. You got to be able to learn. That'd be on them, not dad. Okay, Jordan Love had 18 months in one of the best etiquette schools in the NFL. Matt LaFleur is really good. The Packers' O-line, oh gosh, once again, it's really good. Two excellent running backs, star receiver, smart system. That was wildly underwhelming. And by the way, you can tell a lot from a player based on how the opponent attacks him and how the coaches call the plays. Green Bay coaches did not trust Jordan Love 18 months in that system with those players around him. And Kansas City coaches did not respect him. People haven't blitzed Brady in 15 years. And I'm not saying he's Brady. They didn't worry at all about getting burned. And that's okay for Justin Fields because he is being inserted into the starting lineup. Jordan Love's been there 18 months. I didn't get a single wow moment. You know, everybody bangs, including me, on Jalen Hurts. But I watched Jalen Hurts again yesterday, and I'm getting wow all over the field. Now, I can't throw a deep ball. He's got limitations. But when I watch Jalen Hurts, 22 points, 44 points, 24 points, I see production. He's got Charger defensive backs running all over the field. They could have easily won that game. And he's imperfect. You got to give me a wow moment. Burrow didn't his first start. Herbert didn't his first start. You got to give me something. And those guys didn't have 18 months. Hell, Herbert didn't have a preseason. You got to give me a wow moment. This Green Bay, just the offense. First of all, the team's really good, but the offense was missing 11 starters, went to Arizona. And Arizona, my friends, may be the best team in the league. Went to Arizona, missing 11 starters, and not only won the game, controlled the line of scrimmage, pushed Arizona all over the field, like Arizona pushed San Francisco yesterday all over the field. So Jordan Love had a ton of help here. By the way, this has never been about Jordan's better than Aaron. We didn't have huge expectations. What it's about is, remember, and this is a real thing, Joy and I have been on this for a year, that coaches see practice. So when the Dolphins were bailing on Tua like 6 months ago and the teammates weren't voting him captain 2 months ago, well, they're seeing practice stuff we're not, right? Like that was telling you, the players weren't in on Tua and the coaches knew how limited he was. When you watch that game plan last night, that is a coaching staff that was training wheel stuff. The Chargers had more confidence in Justin Herbert with no preseason against the Kansas City Chiefs. They just let him go. You go look at Joe Burrow, Andrew Luck, and I'm not saying Jordan Love has to be this, But that was, and by the way, I always worry about this. So here's what the coach, Matt LaFleur, said after the game.
Certainly, Aaron's had the experience where he can get you out of some situations. But, you know, that's why I think, especially when you have a young quarterback, you have to have the plan as a coach. And squarely, this thing falls on me, and just not having a good enough plan to go out there versus that pressure, especially with a young quarterback.
Now, we all know the game here. If Brady has a bad game, Bruce Arians will walk up and dog cuss Brady because he can handle it. We know with young quarterbacks, and this is smart, hey, it's on me, it's on me, it's on me. Okay, we get it. But am I supposed to believe Matt LaFleur, a really sharp guy, all week in practice said, you know, Kansas City won't bring any pressure. Yeah, we have a young quarterback. He won't bring any pressure. That's how the Steelers tonight when they face the Bears. What are the Steelers going to do against the Bears? They're going to bring pressure. What did teams like, you know, yesterday, Carolina against Mac Jones, what do? They bring pressure. You don't even have to know football to know. That's like what you do. So you're going to tell me Matt LaFleur's like, wow, I would have never guessed this. Well, they're bringing pressure. You've been there for 18 months. Again, I wasn't looking for much, but you got to give me wow moments. You folks out there are critical of Lamar Jackson. Hell, he gives you a wow moment before kickoff. I mean, Lamar Jackson is just pew all over the place. Jalen Hurts get criticized. I criticize him, but he gives me a lot of, oh, okay, he's making people miss. I watch them. I'm like, arm, it's okay. Escapability, he's athletic. Size, seems good enough. Poise, feet, You got to give me something. And stop giving me the Josh Allen comp. Well, his first year, Josh Allen, first start was 6'6", throwing the ball 75 yards and leaping over linebackers. There's a reason they were patient with Josh Allen. There's a reason Miami isn't with Tua. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, that's unbelievable talent. It's just going to take a while. But I was totally underwhelmed. All right, so, you know, many of you, it's just really unfortunate, think I'm against Baker Mayfield. So Baker didn't have OBJ. The world, you know, just you would have thought he, you know, completed 60 passes. He completed 14. But there's no reason to be petty. Baker talked about OBJ gone, new locker room, and the win, and here it is.
I wish him well. I really do. Like I said, my feelings haven't changed. I wish him well. You know, that's from a personal standpoint. He's a good friend of mine. I'm worried about the guys in our locker room. I'm proud of these guys, how they were able to focus up despite all the that was going on this week, and how they were able to do their job. So that's why I appreciate this group of guys and the staff that we have. So we're going to, you know, see if we can build on it and continue to get better.
Yeah, that's good. You know, they write books about leadership. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room like Aaron. You don't want to be moody like Jay Cutler. Leadership is right there. Not being petty. I like my guys. Not worried about the other guy. I wish him well. Always liked him. That's what leadership looks like. They write books about it. Don't always have to win the argument. Don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. Don't get petty. Focus on the now. Live in the moment. That's what Baker did. And by the way, we all know what I'm about to say is true. You ever gone on a camping trip with buddies? Whitewater rafting trip? Vegas with the girls? You know that the people you select for that are very important. Almost like groomsmen or bridesmaids. Like, there are certain people you're like, oh, I love her, but that's not going to be a space for her. You ever gone on a camping trip? You ever gone to a Vegas weekend? Takes one person that doesn't fit the room, blows it all up. Doesn't mean they're bad people. But we've all experienced this. It's nothing against OBJ. But it didn't really work, right? And you could see it early. So new rule from this point forward. Sometimes quarterbacks are better. Dak without Dez. Baker without OBJ. Folks, it's not about collecting talent, as Belichick says. You're building a team. OBJ, a lot of maintenance and a lot of drama, and he runs hot. And he just wasn't great for the room. And Baker yesterday looked incredibly comfortable. eight different receivers, mixed it around. This team's never needed OBJ. They've got two excellent tight ends. The best offensive line, in my opinion, in football. Nick Chubb is a stud. Kevin Stefanski's a great play caller. Between Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones, those are an excellent tandem of receivers. You've got more than enough. You don't need another person on the camping trip. You don't need another groomsman. Like, it's fine. This is a good wedding party. There's enough here. Just that one person that was a little bit, as they call him, a cooler. Just a little needy, a little dramatic. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He just never fit the room. We all know this to be true. It's not like when you look at Cleveland, you're like, you know what they need? A dramatic wide receiver. They got two good ones. You know, they just don't have an offensive line or a running game. No, they have that. Well, their coach is an old school defensive guy. Nope, that's not it. I mean, Baker completed 14 passes. Let's not go crazy here. But what I saw was he's comfortable. That's when Baker's at his best. We're running the ball. I'm throwing on second and four. I'm throwing on third and two. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been wide open multiple times in the last 7 weeks. It's not like a guy who can't create space. So we all know this in our personal lives. There's people like, you love them, but they'll screw up the camping trip. You love her, but she'll screw up the Vegas weekend. It's okay. It doesn't mean they're bad people. But OBJ never fit Cleveland. Baker looked incredibly comfortable. And this offense does not need anybody else. This is a really good offense. Great O-line, two tight ends, two nice receivers. Nick Chubb's a stud, smart play caller and designer, and a quarterback capable, when you give him space and make him comfortable, of getting in the 40s. You saw it all on display. But let's not – can we stop with this whole thing that more talent is always better? You saw Kyrie and the Celtics. I mean, Kyrie to the Celtics, how did it not work? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, good coach, Kyrie Irving, didn't work. Didn't work in the room. Didn't work at practice. It's okay. It happens because it happens in our life. And football's not that different, believe it or not. It's human beings. It's a job than our lives. All right. By the way, that was Baker's fifth career game with a 130-plus passer rating. Odell Beckham didn't play in four of them, played in one, and didn't record a catch. That's data. We've been banging on for 2 years. The data was there. Don't fight it. It was better without him. All right, there's a lot. Kansas City, Green Bay. You know, I got a couple of people say, what do you make of Dallas? They're a stinker. It's okay. Folks, this is a 17-game season. Brady and Belichick, about once every 2 years, would just not show up. Penalties, picks. I mean, Brady last year twice was awful against the Saints, was terrible. Brady last week was bad. What do I make of the Cowboys? They're human. Dak didn't practice much, or if he did, it was half speed. He didn't look right. They should probably rest him again. Denver came to play. Listen, man, you understand, all these guys are pros. If you do not bring your A game, you're going to get worked. Jacksonville's defensive front mauled the Bills. Denver pushed the Cowboys around for 3.5-4 hours. Okay, this is not college football. That team's got 8 pros. This team has none. Alabama's got 20 pros, and Murray State's got none. That's not what we're talking about here. And you know, Dallas wasn't ready to go. It's okay. I don't think anything less of Dallas.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So, you know, lost somewhat as we pay attention to Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, and Jordan Love is what's happening in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is a little lost. It's not real good. And, you know, let's set the parameters up with this. A, he's still a kid. He's 26. These are kids. B, this stuff's hard. Matt Stafford last night. Josh Allen yesterday. Tom Brady last week. Peyton Manning year 4 in Indy. This stuff's hard, man. And it doesn't really feel like a Super Bowl year for Kansas City. They're rebuilding the O-line. There's been a lot of injuries up front defensively. Their division's a lot better. Patrick Mahomes now, by the way, has to live up to the big contract. Oh, $450 million, Patrick Mahomes. That's a lot. That's a lot. Something else that needs to be mentioned. Patrick Mahomes has a new baby. His family could do him a favor and chill out a little on social media. Mom, there's a lot of noise around Patrick Mahomes. The contract, the family, the new baby, like literal noise at 2 a.m. This is not easy, okay? Plus, here's the thing. He's an artist. He's old school. There's no book he plays by. Like when Tom Brady struggles, he's more of a baker. There's a recipe. You don't ad lib when you bake. You ad lib when you bake, you get a runny cookie. So when Brady struggles, he goes back to his book. Mechanics, pre-snap, efficiency, release. But when you're a chef and you're doing it by feel, I'm going to add a little here, I'm going to add a little there, a little taste. There, I'm going to add a little. You're ad lib. What do you go back to? What do you go back to? You can get lost on this stuff. Now, he'll regain it. He may have regained it last night on that ad-lib play at the end of the game. He rolled out, made the big throw. You're like, okay, that's Mahomes. But when Brady gets lost, he's got a book he goes back to. He's not ad-libbing a ton. He's just the world's best pre-snap, most efficient, accurate quarterback ever, right? But that's not really Mahomes' game. Greg Cosell told us this 3 weeks ago. He's going to be rough to coach. There is no book to go by. He's not doing that. He's an artist. He spills paint. He's a gunslinger. And so right now his personal life's a little noisy. He's got to live up to that big contract, and they're rebuilding the offensive line, and they don't really have much of a running game, and they've had defensive injuries. And, oh, look, our division's pretty interesting. This is – now, by the way, a prime example. Last night they script the first series. They score. Then he's left to his own ad-libbing, and not as good. And he talked about it after.
We're not playing offensively the way we wanted to and the way we expect to, but we're finding ways to get wins. Defense is playing great football. Special teams is doing a great job. And until we find that same mojo that we've had for so long, we're still battling through. Guys are stepping up and making plays to win football games.
Yes, they're winning. He's coachable. He's talented. They'll figure it out. But he's got a lot of personal noise. Expectations have gone up. They're rebuilding the O-line. He's a little lost. He's a little bit of a gunslinger. Aaron Rodgers has talked about that. Sometimes this stuff ain't linear, man. It's hard. He's young. Things aren't gelling. There's no surprises now. His opponents often use plays he did. So there, he's lost. You can see it. It's not there. Travis Kelce's dropping passes now. They're not giving away cheap stuff, and he tends to be – he's a home run hitter. This is not Tony Gwynn here hitting single. This is a home run hitter. He swings big. And when you take away the big from a guy that likes the big, he gets frustrated. He gets impatient. I think they'll work their way out of it. But there are years – I mean, Brady had 10 years in the middle. You just don't feel like a Super Bowl winning team. Now, it can be argued he's very lucky because right now in the AFC, I'm not sure there's anybody that feels like a Super Bowl team. I mean, Buffalo yesterday, you're like, okay, I can't figure out Buffalo. But he's lost. And this is what it looks like. And this is what it looked like for Peyton Manning in year 4. Yep, you watch this league long enough, they all struggle. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Becoming successful is very hard.
And remaining.
Staying successful.
Is harder.
Is harder.
Yes.
Lots of one-hit wonders.
By the way, we forget sometimes, and I'm not talking about Mahomes here, but you lose a great player to free agency. A great player gets hurt.
Yeah, every year is complete. Every year is different, and then parts of years can be different. Look at the Tennessee Titans. Like, they are now in a new phase of their year. Like, yeah. They don't have Derrick Henry anymore. Yeah. So they're going to have to improvise. So the Cowboys were riding a 6-game winning streak and had Dak Prescott back. For their game against the Broncos Sunday, they were massive favorites, but Dak struggled in his return, completing just 6 of 19 passes for 79 yards through the first 3 quarters. They did get 2 touchdowns in the fourth, but it was too late to make a real comeback. So the Cowboys lost for the first time since week 1, 30-16.
Bury the tape.
Yeah, it just felt like one of those games. I mean, personally, I would have appreciated them winning and covering the spread, but...
Can I say this, though? What's funny about that division now... Denver's 5-4, and that team's 5-4. That division now, after you watch that game, you're like, okay, I can't figure that division out. Is there a Kansas City, Raiders, Denver, and the Chargers? It just depends on the week you see them.
It does, and that's a division that we generally consider to be the most competitive, and one of the most competitive, obviously. It is. But it's weird. Like, I don't think Denver's done, right? Like, they're trading Von Miller. They're, like, have a completely depleted offense. And so then you go out and put up 30 on Dallas and their defense.
Nobody watched the Chargers play yesterday, but that was a huge Charger win. So we'd kind of, you know, they'd struggle. They go on the road. They do something very un-Charger. They kick a game-winning field goal. you know, West team goes way east. So this division right now, and this is why football is great. I have no idea.
It was a very weird Sunday overall. And I agree with you, though. This is not a game that the Cowboys should get too crazy about. Dak wasn't a full participant in practice until Thursday. He had a calf strain. Not excuses. Broncos, as to your point earlier, these are all professionals. The Broncos came to play and they got the win. They rushed for 190 yards.
Oh, they were so physically dominant up front on both sides. Totally. You know, what was interesting about the Cowboys was funny because the Cowboys, I think they had like 10 tackles for losses. So it wasn't like Dallas didn't have their moments defensively, but you could just tell the offense. Like Dak was just, you know, you think to yourself, well, he doesn't need to be at practice every day. So Aaron Rodgers this week will play the Seahawks with no practice. Don't be shocked if Aaron doesn't look tight.
No, I mean, the preparation is important, and you can't just go year to year like, oh, they play this team a lot. It's a completely different team. Again, it can be a completely different team week to week. But the Cowboys also couldn't rush the ball, which is a massive part of what they do. So they had 78 yards rushing. That's tied for the second fewest this season. So they struggled. You move on. It happens. Well, the Titans, I went to SoFi last night for the first time.
What did you think of the facility?
It is a palace.
It really is.
It is unbelievable.
The colors inside of it.
It's like, yeah, it looks like an artist rendering. Like you're inside and I'm like, this is not, I feel like I'm looking at the Matrix right
There's
now.
Just colors,
like,
and video.
It's so bright. The screen is amazing.
On television, it's the best looking stadium by far in the, I mean, Lambeau is classic. But on television, SoFi is spectacular looking.
It's also very, and I don't want to, I'm going to get crazy here, but it has a little Madison Square Garden intimacy to it. It feels very tight, right?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, like these massive stadiums can feel like, you feel like you're very far away.
Yeah.
Like it feels very much like a more intimate, especially for a football stadium, but it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Not so good for the Rams last night though. The Titans had their first game without Derrick Henry and had 194 total yards of offense without him, but the defense stepped up and they got their fifth straight win. Titans just keep finding ways. They sacked Stafford 5 times, picked him off twice, 1 return for a touchdown, and they also kept them out of the end zone until the last minute of the game. So 28-16 win for the Titans. The Rams also, this is another one, I don't know that you can burn the tape on this because the Titans aren't actually a very good team.
And we've seen the Rams do this a couple of times, so you can't burn the tape on this. But you know,
it was a bit uncharacteristic. It was very sloppy, undisciplined game. 12 penalties for 115 yards. That's not typical of a Sean McVay team.
The Titans did something else very early in the game. This is a little thing that doesn't maybe mean everything. But on every tackle, they would just push the Rams. They decided very quickly, we're going to get in their head. And so if there was a tackle, they just keep a knee on a guy a little longer. If the corner pushed Robert Woods, like the play was over, he would just push Robert Woods. Not a penalty. They were very legally chippy last night. That's very Mike Vrabel. That's very much on Mike Vrabel. The Titans were very legally chippy. They were just bumping extra, pushing, and it's like, they were making a statement in the first quarter. We're going to win the physical stuff. You're prettier than we are. We're going to win the physical stuff. You ever see that in the octagon or a fight? The round's over and you just push a little extra.
Yeah, that was my move. I'm a little guy. I'm just like, when everyone's looking, just give you a little shove.
A little shove. The Titans were, and all this stuff, you'll never throw a flag on it, but it's like annoying. And I was like, they're making a little, we're not as artistic as you. We're going to make it a little chippy and get in your ear and get in your face.
Well, I mean, it works. They had 12 penalties for 115 yards.
Yep.
They rushed for 69 yards total. Deontay Freeman was the leading rusher with 29 yards. Adrian Peterson had a rushing touchdown. Just keep finding ways to do it. And 16 is the fewest points that the Rams have scored all season. So they have some things to look at from that game. But a nice one for the Titans, who
it was great.
Just keep making it happen.
Yep.
So the Bills were huge favorites on Sunday, but the Jaguars were ready for the challenge. The
Urban Meyer.
I mean, that smile on Urban's face after that game, like, he appreciates this one. It was a great win for them. I mean, the Bills are a great team. Bills had two field goals, and Josh Allen, listen, I mean, nothing like a name pun to make everybody go crazy. Josh Allen, not that Josh Allen, the Jacksonville Jaguars Josh Allen, was the star of the game. He had 8 total tackles, a sack, an interception, and a fumble recovery as they got the 9-6 win. Yep. Not the most offensively artistic game, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's a win and loss column, and Jacksonville got it. Josh Allen from Buffalo was 31 of 47, 264 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and lost a fumble. Trevor Lawrence has a low ankle sprain.
Yeah, he got
hurt.
His
x-rays are negative. Yep. He will likely be limited this week, but he said after the game he wasn't concerned about the injury. He did leave for a moment. He was 15 of 26 for 118 yards.
We both love Buffalo, but I got to be honest with you. That put a smile on my face.
No, I was very happy for Jacksonville. I was.
It was. That was.
I was. I don't like to see any team lose every game of the season. Not that obviously that they were, but I know that feeling. I have experienced that personally when you're on a team. I mean, not me, obviously, on the team, but, you know, my brother on a team that can't get wins. And it's a miserable experience. And it really feels good, even if it's a lost season or a season that you know you don't have high expectations like Jacksonville does. So those little building things, like, look, you can find ways to win games. Jacksonville's not a good team, and Buffalo is a Super Bowl contender. Any given Sunday, guys.
It made me happy.
It did.
You guys all had Urban going to USC in about 3 weeks. Like, he's not going to USC. He's got 2 wins. And by the way, some of those draft picks now are starting to play. He needs another draft and another.
I mean, it takes time.
Of course. It just, even the people we like, Brian Flores, is hard.
You got to let it brew a little bit.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I will say something. Listen, when Brady and Belichick break up, the advantage obviously goes to Brady. Number one, well, Belichick just lost the best quarterback ever. Yeah, it's going to take a while to figure out who's the next quarterback, especially when you're surprised he left. And secondly, Brady got a pick where he was going to go. So, yeah, Brady was going to win the early stages of this divorce. He got a pick where he's going. Yeah, it's kind of hard to find a guy to replace the GOAT. But now, 18 months later, New England looks right. They look like a playoff team. If the playoffs started today, New England is in. And when you look around the AFC, folks, everybody's got problems. The Bills' offense is hit and miss. The Ravens' secondary and defense is questionable. Kansas City's not right. The Chargers are good, but a little up and down. New England looks good. They're 4-0 on the road. It's the classic New England Patriots. Very few penalties. They win time of possession. They give you no cheapies over the top at all. You got to earn everything, and they ruin Sam Darnold Sundays. It looked very New England. And Mac Jones has gotten out of the terrible mistake area. The ceiling's lower. I'm not saying this is a Super Bowl team, but Belichick is back to checking about 7 boxes. We'll win time of possession. We'll run the ball. You'll get no cheapies over the top. We'll have fewer penalties. We're not going to give you ugly turnovers in short field. This looks very New England. And it's interesting because the top of the NFC is stacked with veteran quarterbacks. The top of the AFC is a lot of guys we love. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. But it's a lot of young quarterbacks under 25 years old. Who does Belichick own in this league? Quarterbacks under 25 years old. So I'm sitting there watching New England yesterday, and it took 18 months, and you knew Brady, who could pick his team, and Belichick, who had to find a replacement for the GOAT. You're not going to look good the first year. But New England right now is not only a playoff team, but if they played Miami again, they'd win. This is a team now that should have 2 more wins that they lost simply because Mac Jones is a baby. The diapers are off now. The binky's out. It's a real football team. New England feels like a playoff team. Whether you want to hear that or not, they do. They really, yesterday, it's like, yeah, that's what they look like with Brady on the road. No, you know, not a lot of penalties, no freebies, take a lead, control time of possession, efficient. You walk out of town and it's like, all right, That's something you could duplicate virtually every weekend in this league. Now, don't have a ton of playmakers. Guess what? Didn't the last 3 years in New England with Brady either.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great to have you in. 13 years, four Pro Bowls, Michael Vick, and one of two quarterbacks with 1,000 rushing yards in a year. Lamar Jackson's the other. By the way, Baltimore is so much better than Minnesota. That game drove me nuts yesterday. Baltimore's so much better than Minnesota. It's the fact that they had to go to overtime is ridiculous. Lamar's up there 400 yards. Special teams, though, man. You got to have special teams button up. They didn't have them buttoned up. Let's bring on Michael Vick, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. So here was my problem with Jordan Love, Michael. Like, I didn't have huge expectations. I knew it was his first start, but he did have 18 months in that program with that staff, good players everywhere. That team was so good, they beat Arizona, missing 11 starters in Arizona. There's a lot of good players for Green Bay. Here was my problem, Michael. I didn't see one wow moment, one Justin Herbert throw, Jalen Hurts making people miss. I didn't see any of that. And I'm like, dude, 18 months, you got to give me a wow play. That worried me. What did you see?
Yeah. Well, not just one wild play, Colin. We needed a couple wild plays. This was a situation where Jordan Love was looked to be the next up and coming be Aaron Rodgers' predecessor, and he showed nothing of sort yesterday. He looked a little out of sync. He looked like he didn't really believe in the game plan and what they was trying to implement. He just looked out of sync. And, you know, to not have a connection with Devontae Adams, to not have a connection with something Lazard, it just looked frustrating. And I thought they was going to lean on a running game to win this game or to at least keep it competitive. Shout out the Kansas City Chiefs. They shut the run game down. So it was up to Jordan Love to create some magical moments, and he just didn't. And it was very disappointing because, like you say, he did sit for 18 months having a chance to watch the game grow and progress each and every week, and it just didn't translate to the field yesterday.
You know, and it's interesting, Michael, because I was watching Jalen Hurts, and I've said before, Jalen does not throw a deep ball, and I do believe you, even if you're a running quarterback, you have to have the ability. You had it. Lamar has it. Steve Young ran around. You got to be able to throw the deep ball and keep the defense honest, and he doesn't. But I watched him yesterday against Justin Herbert, and he makes people miss. He picks up first downs. He's a pain in the butt to defend. Chargers can't quite figure out what to do. And it's funny about Jalen Hurts. I know we all bury him, and maybe there's limitations, but when I watch him, unlike Jordan Love, I do see wow moments with him. What is this Philadelphia offense going to translate to eventually, in your opinion?
You know, I think they just need some time. I mean, you look at some of the teams across the National Football League who, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals, so to speak, have struggled over the years, but have took time to put the pieces in place, the right pieces in place. And I think that's what's going to happen with the Philadelphia Eagles over time. You got some bright spots. It looks promising. I mean, you got Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders and, you know, Smith. These guys are, you know, they're doing what they need to do. But they just don't know how to finish games, and you got to learn that. You got to experience it. And I think they like one or two veterans away from being really good on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. What I want to see from Philadelphia is some leaders step up, some guys on the sideline, even if it's false chatter, giving a sense of hope and playing some competitive football because they're in games. Yep. They just got to learn to finish.
Yeah, no, they're in games, and they put points on the board. That's what worries me about Jordan Love. I got 7 points. In the end, that Kansas City defense isn't good. You say what you want about Jalen Hurts. I get 22. I get 44. I get 24. I get points. I get production. Now, it's interesting. We always think that Bill Belichick always says it's not about just accumulating players. I'm building a team. And so I said this. I always thought Dak was better without Dez because he didn't feel the pressure to get the ball to Dez. And I said this 2 years ago. It's not a knock on OBJ. When Baker feels this pressure to get it to OBJ, he's tight. He's forcing stuff. So go back to your career. Were there times that you were simply more comfortable when you knew you could throw to anybody? The playbook was designed for Michael to do what Michael wanted to do, and you didn't feel forced to do stuff. Take me to your career on that.
Without a doubt, I think back to my days in Atlanta. We brought in Peerless Price, and Peerless came in as a number one, you know, coming out of Buffalo, having some success. And he was supposed to be the guy, that Terrell Owens, you know, that leading receiver, that Steve Smith type of guy. And we tried to make him that. And, you know, it takes time to develop the offense around the guy who's supposed to be considered the number one. And it just doesn't happen overnight. Peerless was impatient. He wanted it now. I felt the pressure trying to get the ball to him continuously. And I didn't feel better as a quarterback, honestly, until I just said, look, I'm just going to play my game, play within the system. I'm not going to try to overdo it or get Peerless 8 catches for 160 yards right, because we paid him big money. I got to work within the framework of the offense. If not, this whole thing blows up. So it all started with me making that decision and the comfort level.
So yesterday we saw Dak struggle. We saw Josh Allen struggle. We saw Matt Stafford struggle. And it's funny. It's like one of those things where as a quarterback, you throw a pick six or two and it unravels. And I looked at Matt Stafford and as he walked to the sideline and I'm like, man, I don't know how you get out of that space because that's two bad pick six. That is ugly. And are there days in the NFL when, Michael, you know, you just know first two or three drives, this game plan ain't working? Yeah. Like, this just is not working.
I mean, sometimes you can sense it in the pregame. You just don't feel right. You know you're going against a team that's hungry, and, you know, you're gonna get their best. And, you know, when it comes down to schemes and, you know, you're playing against a coach like Mike Vrabel, who's been up under the Belichick tree, who played for him, had success with him, and understands that defense, you're getting pretty much the same thing. A lot of press man, a lot of scheme, a lot of blitzing coming from all angles, and it just makes you uncomfortable. So you almost go into the game knowing that, look, either I'm going to be perfect today or this is not going to go well. And I think that was the type of day that Matt Stafford had and the Los Angeles Rams. It just wasn't pretty all across the board.
So Lamar tied your record, 10 career game of 100-plus rushing yards. What I like about Lamar is he's feisty. He'll have bad halves. He does not get down. He really puts it in the rearview mirror. He can have a terrible throw. He doesn't care. And yesterday was a prime example. Minnesota got some special teams breaks. He was kind of struggling, scrapping early. It didn't look right. Take me to where you think he's at right now in his development.
I think he's really maturing because if you look at it, Lamar's learning how to come from behind and win. That's one of the traits a quarterback got to have, a trait that great quarterbacks have. And you know, you just kind of come into your own as, you know, things progress throughout the course of a season or a game, rather. But you learn how to win, like I said earlier, and you learn how to come from behind and win. And you don't always want to be in that situation, but when it happens, you're comfortable in that moment. And I see Lamar doing everything possible to win football games. He's sacrificing his body. He's taking care of his body so he can be durable. And I got to credit the coaches for, you know, not limiting him. His limitations are endless, and they allow him to go be him. And the one thing they always told me, James Urban, you know, my former offensive coordinator who's with Baltimore now, always told me that, you know, we're not going to hold Lamar back. We're going to let Lamar be Lamar. And I think just through all these growing pains and everything he's experiencing, even playing against the Minnesota Vikings yesterday and supposedly winning convincingly, having to win in overtime is just another step in the right direction in his development. And that's what you want to see a young Lamar Jackson.
Good stuff, Michael. Vic, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk soon. Yeah, that was a game yesterday. Baltimore's the better team than Minnesota. And it wasn't particularly close, but they get a kick return for a touchdown. They do a fake kick and it works. And it was one of those yesterday was a classic what a good team does. Lamar wasn't good early. Special teams go against him. They just can't get momentum. And Lamar's moving the ball. And that's the difference maybe with a Cincinnati who had some early issues and couldn't overcome them. and Baltimore, who had some early issues and did overcome them. You get 13, 14 possessions in this stuff, you're going to have four or five bad ones. And when they all sort of stack up against each other like the Rams, game can be over. But Baltimore just – you knew watching this game, you're like, no, Baltimore's better. There's no question Baltimore's better. Just they needed every minute of that game. Some games are decided, Arizona over San Francisco, they're decided 7 minutes in. Other games, you just look at that clock, you're like, we need every second of today. We haven't gotten a ton of breaks, but the Ravens were the better team. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, hour two. Greg Olson stops by. Joe Burrow of the Bengals. Class guy showing up too today. It's the Herd.